Welcome back to the Marketing Freaks podcast at Shop Talk US. And in this installment of our series, I'm talking to Laurie Joffe, CMO at American Freight. Very much hope you enjoy this episode, and let's get started. Brilliant. All right, Laurie, welcome to the Marketing Freaks podcast at Shop Talk.
Thanks. So happy to be here. Thanks for having me.
No, it's really cool, and very interested to dive into your experience as a CMO at American Freight and managing kind of online e-commerce with offline retail and everything that goes into that. I think is a really interesting topic. First off, who are you and what do you do?
Yeah, sure. So my name is Laurie Joffe, and I am the Chief Marketing Officer for American Freight. Been with the company for about 12 years and in this role for a year. And I can tell you a little bit about American Freight. Mm-hmm. So we are a national retailer. We have about 380 stores across the U.S.
It's massive.
We sell furniture, mattresses, and appliances, primarily open box appliances, so pretty unique. Mm-hmm. We cater to that value segment, so tremendous value. We have a great website, tremendous customers, super fun brand. We're growing. Yeah. All that's great about retail.
Fantastic. So 380 stores plus an e-commerce operation. How's your time split between a focus on e-commerce and a focus on physical retail?
Yes, I oversee e-commerce, so the application is part of my responsibilities at the company. I will tell you that we are super agnostic, so we don't spend a lot of time actually thinking about that.
Okay.
I think that the customer's journey is no longer linear at all. And I think in the past, right, everybody spoke about, is she an e-commerce shopper or is she a in-store shopper, and doing that separation, and it really isn't true.
Uh-huh.
Right? So she, especially in big ticket category, but I think it's true everywhere.
Definitely.
Right? Just not linear. They're going from the store, back to the site, back to the store, right? And it's this bounce back and forth. And at the end of the day, we want to just make sure that we're there for our customers whenever they need it and that they can shop in whatever way works for them.
Amazing. So how do you then, as a CMO, track and measure marketing when, you know, a chunk of your spend's online? Obviously, people kind of come in, and like you say, it's not as black and white as it might seem. So how do you know what's working from a marketing perspective when you've got, I guess, disjointed / extended purchase journeys across e-commerce and physical retail?
Listen, I think that any CMO that says that they have it fully figured out is probably not being 100% honest. And I think that we're all, as an industry, trying to figure that out all the time. We do a lot of testing, and we do a lot of test and learn. That's really the core way of trying to figure out how to invest across the funnel.
Yep.
So when we think about that inspire, consider, convert, where are we putting our dollars and how is it working? Some things are much easier to measure, like those conversion channels.
Uh-huh.
Right? So we look at store visits, and Google provides great data, and we have an integration with LiveRamp providing great data for what's converting in store from our digital clicks. But it's just a part of the story on just some of the channels.
Yeah.
Right? It's not holistic. So.
And with 380 stores, with that level of experimentation, do you... Or is it worthwhile doing like really localized experimentation where you can almost kind of silo and ring fence that test? Is that a thing?
That's exactly what we do, right? So we'll
points.
Love it, yeah. Extra points. So we choose test groups of stores and their peer groups, right, that match them in all parameters. And we have traffic counters in our stores, so we're measuring the footsteps to the stores, customers that we're acquiring. So we have all the measurement in place to see what's happening and how things are working, but it really is about a lot of test and learn at the end of the day.
Yeah, and I assume these are like quite big sweeping tests because, you know, can you give any detail on what you test?
Yeah, I mean, so for example, right now we'll have a group of stores where we're running a streaming test. Right,
okay.
So we're running streaming at elevated levels in a group of stores, and we're measuring them to control and to see what it's doing, right? And basically the rest of the marketing is based the same for all stores.
Amazing. It must be really fascinating to be able to, I guess, have that level of data at your disposal across the country. It's quite a unique interesting situation to be in, I imagine, as a CMO.
For sure. And without data, and data's king.
Yeah, so just, you're lost, aren't you?
Without it, you're totally lost. Like I said, even with the best of it, there's still art and not all science, right? So,
Yeah. What do you think the future of the CMO role in retail is?
Yeah, I mean, I think it's a very interesting time for CMOs. And I think that, you know, I think that there's a big expectation of CMOs right now, like there hasn't ever been before, to be really technology experts.
Yeah.
Right? So I think people look to the CMO to be the voice of AI and what AI are bringing to the company and Gen AI, and to understand all these very complex models and technology. And I think that's really overwhelming for a lot of CMOs and can be very challenging.
Yeah.
And a really big evolution, I think, in that role.
Yeah. Have you found yourself under pressure in that area to kind of innovate, bring AI in and learn? Because it's such a different thing to learn compared to traditional marketing. Like you say, it's learning technology, right? When perhaps in the past your core, or like the core of your role, was different. So have you found yourself under pressure in that area?
So I'm super privileged because I had a pretty non-traditional career path, and I got to do a lot of time in IT and BI, and I understand that really well. So it comes pretty naturally to me, and I'm fortunate. To say that I don't get overwhelmed would be completely false, right? So of course there's moments where it's overwhelming.
Yep.
And you need to just take a deep breath and learn it. I think the core rule for me is I don't go shopping for technology. I first of all identify what is a customer or business need that I have, and then I go try find the solution that's going to work.
Yep.
And not the other way around. So we're not doing anything in AI for the sake of AI or the buzz of AI, only trying to solve problems.
I think it's the biggest mistake with all of this is people, they either feel under pressure or have put themselves under pressure to experiment with some form of new technology, because you come to somewhere like ShopTalk and everyone's talking about it. And if you're not doing loads, you probably come away going, oh, I'm missing a trick. I have to do this because it's a thing. Whereas actually it's, what's the business need? Where's the gap? What can I kind of put onto AI or use AI to kind of make what I do better? And it solves a problem.
Exactly. And I think a lot of it, right, like I think good leaders are good learners and are very, very curious. So I'm super curious and I love learning, right? That's why this is exciting to me.
Yep.
That's why I find retail and digital marketing and e-commerce so fascinating, because it changes every single day.
Yeah.
But it is about that. It's about remembering that core of like, what exactly is the problem that you're trying to solve?
Yep.
And not get caught up in the hype or buzz.
Yeah, people love a shiny toy, don't they?
They do.
And actually it's...
we all do. So,
well, I mean...
We all do.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's human nature, isn't
it? It is.
But it's nice to, you know, if you're... Yeah, I think it can be very distracting.
Absolutely.
At the same time as being extremely beneficial. It's an interesting balance, isn't it?
I think it's distracting for the company purchasing technology, but it's also distracting for the technology providers, because I think they're also all caught up in this chase to be an AI company.
Of course.
And how do they put it into their name, and how do they talk about the fact that that's what they're doing?
Yeah.
I even heard this one lady in a panel ask a question about, she's concerned she's not going to get VC investment because she doesn't do enough AI.
Really?
So how can she pivot to, right? So I think everybody's caught up in that.
And of course.
We're really, especially in the world of Gen AI, we're just starting to scratch the surface.
It's an interesting time, isn't it?
Very fascinating, and it's very, very early, right? Like the screens have just opened on Act One, kind of a thing, right?
Yeah.
So we're very early.
Yeah, that's a really good way of putting it. What have you implemented with AI and found to work and be beneficial?
Yeah, listen, I think that there's not a lot of technology solutions that I interact with that are not at their core AI or model based.
Good point.
Right, it's just been around forever. I'll say we're doing a lot of experimentation on AR and making sure. I think images is going to be huge, and I think AI has the potential to completely transform that. So that's a place where I'm very excited and that we're leaning in on. So we do have AR on our website, and you can visualize that sofa in your room, and it's a great help, right? All of it is about
that
trying to.
That stuff's just so cool.
I know. And it's about trying to bridge that gap between physical and digital, right? And how do we unify that experience? So
yeah,
and that's something done.
Do you look for, I guess, like customer feedback or themes or customer questions? Try and work out what that technology should be doing. So being able to visualize a sofa in your living room at home means the customer doesn't have to come into the store if they don't want to. They can see it there, and it makes the whole purchase a bit more probably comforting. How do you assume you spend time talking to your customers and getting feedback, and that then feeds into the, oh yeah, there's probably a technology solution to solve that particular challenge?
Yeah, I mean, super attuned to our customers and listening all the time. I think that's key. You can't survive without it. That's interesting on the AR and visualization. It's not just for that person who doesn't want to walk into the store. Like I said, super nonlinear, right? So she's walked into the store. She sees the sofa that she likes, but she's not sure. So she goes home, pulls it up online, visualizes in her home, and then she can choose how she wants to purchase.
Yeah.
Does she want to buy it online, or does she want to convert in the store? It doesn't really matter, but it kind of works in all ways.
Yeah, I was giving that example from, I guess, my own perspective, because I'm a very lazy shopper. So for me, that saves me time.
You're not alone. We're all becoming lazier and lazier, unfortunately.
I mean, I'm not a lazy person, but I am definitely a lazy shopper.
Yeah.
Let's call it that.
Yeah.
Right, to wrap up, what would your advice be for someone who is, let's say, stepping into a CMO role this year with everything that's going on, the economic environment we're in, all of that type of stuff? What's your one big piece of advice?
I've got three. Can I do three?
You can do three.
Okay, so I'm going to say this. So get to know and understand your customer.
Yep.
Is really, really key. And then who you are as a brand, right? There's a lot of talk about authenticity, but you can't do that if you're trying to be somebody else or you're trying to cater a different person, right? So yep. I think that's fundamental and golden, like a golden rule. Always focus on ROI, right? And do what you need to do to get there, right? So get into the weeds, but also know how to get out and step out and take that 10,000-foot view, right? That's a lot of balance. And then the third is where we started, right? Or what we spoke about before, is technology is super overwhelming in this new CMO era. So just learn, right? Learn, listen, observe, figure out what problem you're trying to solve, go tech shopping after, and not vice versa. I'd say those are the three keys.
Absolutely amazing. Laurie, look, thank you so much for taking the time out of what is a really long day. It's been great chatting, and thank you so much.
Thank you so much.
Thank you so much for listening to this episode. Very much hope you found it helpful and useful. If you did, please come and subscribe on your favorite podcast platform. Leave us a rating or a review if you really liked it, and hope to see you on the next episode.